is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. It's about 5 o'clock where I am. Ladies, do you know where your husbands are? Guys, do you know what your wives are up to right now? You think you do? But maybe you're wrong. Are you one of those people who's kind of suspicious about what your spouse is up to? Are you one of those people kind of wonder if there is someone else? Well, today we're going to be talking about an issue that has plagued families since the Garden of Eden, and that's the issue of adultery, or in our contemporary parlance, affairs. And we have with us the author of one of the biggest selling books on the market right now, Elizabeth Landers, who is the author of The Script, the 100% absolutely predictable things men do when they cheat. And when I was looking through this book, the thing that was so remarkable to me is how much it sounds like Romans 1, Romans 2, Romans 3. It sounds like a treatise on the doctrine of sin. And I think we're going to see this as we talk to Elizabeth Landers, as she's just sharing with us the things that she has seen and observed in men who are cheating on their wives. Now, what I want to ask you, while I'm talking to Mrs. Landers, I want to ask you, if this is really a problem, what can we do to address this? Husbands, what can you do to affair-proof your own marriages? Wives, what can you do to create the kind of marriages where there is trust and security? And at a bigger level, what can we do as churches to make sure that our own communities aren't wrecked by affairs and adultery? Elizabeth Landers, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be on the show.
I find your book fascinating, and one of the things that is so fascinating to me as I am moving through it is you argue that you have all kinds of men out there who will say to their wives, honey, I will never cheat on you.
That's correct.
That's not enough to go on, is it?
No, because, well, of course, many men say this and nothing ever happens in the future, but a woman will look back and say, gee, I think something's happening, or something did happen. He left, and she finds that he had another woman. But he said he would never do that. He commented on so-and-so in his office, and he was so disapproving. And as you may notice in the book, there are a lot of religious references, because we say one thing. When we go to church, when we go to synagogue, adultery is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And our legal system, too, says adultery is wrong. In some states, adultery is relevant in court. But yet, we kind of pass it off as going to the end of our book. Many people say, everybody's doing fine.
Yeah.
Not so.
Now, if you're a wife out there who is wondering, could it be that my husband is having an affair? How would this lady know? What are some things she ought to be looking for in her own marriage?
Well, he starts out, he's very critical, unusually critical. And he says things like, you need to see a psychiatrist, to his wife.
Mm.
Setting the stage for later on, if there will be a later on, to say, she's the problem. See, I told her to go for help. She's so crazy she wouldn't even go for help. No wonder I had to leave her.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I keep telling you to go back to school. I keep telling you to get a job. I keep telling you to go to the gym, to lose weight, keep the house better, keep the kids more in line. Or deliberately starting an argument, especially about something that she's good at. And she defends herself, and then he says, see how argumentative you are, how unfriendly, how unpleasant, how difficult. Later on, she's the problem. No wonder we had to leave.
You know, I passed a couple in the grocery store one time in which the husband said to her, you contradict everything I say. And the wife said, no, I don't. And he said, see, there you go again. So yeah. These kinds of arguments are maybe an early warning sign.
They can be. One sign doesn't mean much, but two or three definitely do. And we say, if you see something or if you hear something, say something. Speak up early. Because as in medical pain management, when pain medicine is best given early, before the pain gets really bad, it's more likely to be successful early and maybe even need less pain medication. The same thing in this situation.
You know, Elizabeth, one thing that I think we've all seen is the guy that we know, just the regular guy, who all of the sudden, at the age of 37, 38, 40 years old, perms his hair, gets a whole new wardrobe, buys a sports car, he starts working out. You say that might be a bad sign.
That's true. That's better known, getting a wardrobe, changing his hairstyle, working out a lot. And that, along with one or two other signs, is a definite indication to the wife to speak up.
Now, how is it that, I mean, all of us as men believe, I mean, all of us who are at least faithful husbands and men of integrity believe that we could never have an affair. We can't imagine that happening. And I think that's why you talk about some of these men who are so disapproving of affairs. It's not like you're talking about guys who start out on the honeymoon saying, you know, I think if one woman's good, two or three is even better. What about those of us who don't think that we are vulnerable to affairs at all? How is it that these guys self-justify and think that this is okay?
Well, they make the wife the problem, which is one justification, and they're feeling unappreciated. Nobody's saying thank you to me. I'm working so hard. I'm doing so many things. Nobody's saying thank you. What about me is what we call it. What about me? And then they have a wow that felt, what we call a wow that felt good moment, which in comparison to things at home, which are the ordinary everyday routine, one woman just smiles at him very briefly, just maybe a couple of seconds, or says thank you in a sweet way, just two words, and it feels so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looks, if he's going in that direction, says, boy, there are a lot of other possibilities out there. We call it a world of possibilities. And it seems so good compared to the ordinary life at home. And then he starts to go further, and he says, I found my soulmate, possibly. And then he thinks it could work. He can have everything. He can have his cake and eat it, too. So it's a very fine line between when it goes over the line. And we know, for instance, among our presidents, President Jimmy Carter said he acknowledged he had lust in his heart, is what he told all of us Americans.
Mm-hmm.
He never did anything.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped. And what we're trying to say is there is a time when you can still interrupt the script. Try to interrupt the script. Nothing is guaranteed, but try to interrupt the script. Once it goes further, it's going to be a lot harder and maybe impossible.
You know, Elizabeth, those of us who have served in pastoral ministries have heard that soulmate line so many times. When you're talking to men who are cheating on their wives, they always want to throw that out. You just don't know what it's like to meet someone who's your soulmate. I think that God has directed me to this woman.
That's right. They bring in God. Even men who never mention God in their lives bring in God and courage. And things like that that seem so ironic compared to what they're doing, breaking up a family and a marriage, if that's what's happening. But each man thinks this is different.
You know, Elizabeth, one of the most powerful lines, I think, in your book is when you talk about the adulterer and the adulteress talking on the telephone. They're planning the affair. And you say it's almost like two people plotting a murder, and then you come behind that and say, but in reality they are. They're planning the murder of a marriage, the murder of a soul.
It's the murder of a soul, the murder of a family. And it is that has all the hallmarks of a crime. Motivation, opportunity, cover story, explanation, and a new life.
What would you advise a woman who's afraid that her husband might be somewhere on this script? What would you advise her to do?
Try to talk to him. Try to suggest they go for counseling together. Now, I acknowledge many men will say, you go for counseling. Nothing wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
You have problems? Go ahead. Go for counseling. Go see a minister. I'm not going.
Mm-hmm.
Then go alone. Try to go together. Try to go even at the first appointment, go together. Try to go see a minister together, a rabbi together, a psychiatric social worker, a psychiatric nurse. I mean, we know that in many parts of the country, a zillion therapists and psychologists are not available, and money might be an issue. It costs money. So seek out resources that are less expensive and more available.
Well, of course, one of the problems, though, Elizabeth, that I see is in kind of a psychotherapeutic age, you can always find a psychotherapist who can affirm you in your adultery. And I've even had people say they go to a counselor and the counselor says, yeah, you know, he's found his soulmate. I think he probably ought to divorce.
You're right. And we say if a woman feels, you know, there's something wrong in her marriage, or she has this gut instinct, something is not right, and she goes to a psychologist or a psychotherapist, and he says or she says to the woman, you know, you are sick. I'm going to treat you. You're depressed just the way your husband says. I'm going to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Seek another opinion.
Mm-hmm. What about for a man who says, you know what, I really think I might be moving toward an affair. What would you advise him?
again, seek some kind of counseling, whatever is available to that person, because it's not going to, as we say towards the end, you saw it in the book, it's not a happy ending.
Not a happy ending, so says Elizabeth Landers. Thank you so much for being with us on the program, Elizabeth. One thing I want to ask you, what can we do as evangelical Christians to try to make sure that our own marriages aren't damaged by affairs and by adultery? You know, Elizabeth Landers says, just looking in as an observer, she says, everybody is vulnerable to adultery. And I think she's right. I think that Jesus tells us specifically she's right. How do we protect ourselves? How do we protect our churches? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. Affair-proofing our families. How can we do it? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Your nobody called today, and she hung up when I asked her name. So says Sylvia, and a lot of people have the exact same experience. They're wondering, who is that voice on the other end of the line? This new book that is selling all over the country, The Script, The 100% Absolutely Predictable Things Men Do When They Cheat. Reading this book, there's really nothing new here. So many people who have ever counseled marriages in crisis understand the exact same script. You have the guy, and he's saying to his wife, I think you need to lose weight. I think you need to keep this house cleaner. I think you need to be making more money in your job. I think you need to go back to school. I just think you're crazy. And we all know these guys who are able to convince themselves that having an affair is okay. What I want to ask you is, if that's the case, if we know how powerful this is, and we know better than the authors of any popular book, because Jesus has warned us that adultery is not simply a matter of circumstance, it's a matter of the heart, and then Jesus goes on to say, every single one of you, every one of you is an adulterer at some stage. All of us are at some point in this script. Question is, how do we identify that? How do we crucify that? I want you to know from you, how do we best work this in into our own churches, making sure that we're holding one another accountable, that we are growing one another in godliness? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe some of you are husbands and wives can share with us, how do you make sure in your own marriage that you don't wind up going down the script? Now, one of the things that I am very thankful for that I had absolutely nothing to do with was being asked at my ordination. There was an elderly man in the church that ordained me who said to me, are you going to ever be alone with a woman in ministry? And I said, assuming that the answer to that should be no, I said, no, I'm this young kid sitting in the church fellowship hall. I have really not thought these things through at all. But since I made that commitment, I have been able to say in so many situations, you know, I just can't do that because I promised in my ordination vows that I would never be alone with someone of the opposite sex. That has saved me not just temptation, it has saved me so much awkwardness to be able to say, you know, I can't meet with you. I made a commitment that I was not going to meet with you. Now, in reality, I shouldn't have had to make that vow at my ordination. I should have made that vow at my wedding. And I should have had someone there saying to me, make sure you're never alone with a woman. That you cannot have an affair if you're not alone with a woman. And I think that is just common sense that so many of us need to know. Another thing, in terms of Christian responsibility, in terms of affairs, I think that so often men who go down this script that she's talking about are men who become more and more isolated, not just from the community of faith, but from other men. I think one of the most powerful antidotes to adultery is friendship. male friendship. And I think when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about accountability groups, although I think there's a place for accountability groups. But you can always find six random guys who are struggling with the same things you are struggling with. And so often these accountability groups are just therapeutic self-justification times six or times seven. Instead, what I'm talking about is real friendship that's developed, that is deep and meaningful, so that right now, if I were to have an affair, I'll tell you, one of the most heartbreaking things that I can think of is calling about five men that I know, and I can imagine the horror of having to call those five guys and saying, I just want you to know that I have wrecked everything. That's a powerful deterrent. I think that's exactly what the New Testament gives to us as Christians, where the Apostle Paul writes and says, let you who are spiritual hold up and lift up the one who is weak. We desperately need this in our churches when right now our families are just segmented out in these suburban, isolated existences that often lead to tragedy. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we have David on the line calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. David, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to have you on.
Likewise. I wanted to say, first of all, while I was listening there just now, what you were saying, you hit the nail right on the head as far as the strongest argument to avoid this. I truly believe it's not just a matter of accountability, but it is a matter of male bonding, a male, somebody who you actually not just know and say, okay, I trust him, but somebody that you actually have a connection with, somebody that you just know is going, like you said, your heart would fall out if you had to tell your other male friends, I've ruined my family.
Yeah.
But your previous guest hit the nail right on the head on a lot of the descriptions in her book. I haven't read it yet, but based on what she was saying there as far as what every man always does when he cheats, but unfortunately, I hate to say it, but it does go both ways. My sister had an adulterous affair, and it absolutely, as she put it, it murdered her family as a result. She, you know, three beautiful kids that are were very well adjusted. Unfortunately, have of course, you know, had some issues since, and it's just she did the exact same things, identical. You know, finding the reasons, and I remember when she tried to tell me because I had spoken to her about it. Another friend of mine from the church had spoken to her. Unfortunately, she wasn't attending my church, but another friend of mine from the church had spoken to her about it, and she just. She came back with, you know, I think God wants me to be happy, and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, but not at this. He does want you to be happy, but not this way. And that's just how they justify it.
You know, David, I think a lot of it, too, comes in with at least women that I've known in this situation. There's this hyper-romantic sense that life ought to be a Harlequin romance novel. And so when they find that first flush of romance, or a man who is actually willing to listen to them, often you have that, you're exactly right, that same kind of self-justification. It works both ways in all kinds of marriages, and it needs to be guarded and warned against for both men and women. We have Sean on the line, listening on XM Radio from Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. Sean, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Sean, are you there? Sean is gone. Sean, are you there? Sean is gone from us today, but he has left a note saying that he's on his third marriage and that both his first and second wives cheated on him. Now, you know, I have to tell you, I think that part of the problem with skyrocketing adultery is the divorce culture that we're living in. I mean, the very idea that we treat marriage almost like two junior high school kids dating, so that if you're tired of this, you find someone else, you move on, I think that actually ingrains into the culture the idea that marriage is something temporal, and marriage is something that can be broken, something that can be torn apart. What do you think? You've got this temptation that's out there toward adultery, toward tearing families apart. It's happening all over the place. And men listening to this program, you are vulnerable to adultery. Women listening to this program, you are vulnerable to adultery. You don't think you are, perhaps. You can't imagine that happening, perhaps. No one ever does. What I want to know is, how are you making sure in your own hearts, in your own lives, that adultery does not destroy you, destroy your family, destroy your church? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. The script says it's 100% predictable what you do when you have an affair. Bible already told us that. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about adultery, broken marriages, broken families. How do we, as husbands and wives and Christians and churches, how do we make sure that adultery does not wreck our marriage, our family, our church? I want to hear from you. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let's join the conversation. We have Ron on the line, listening in Cookeville, Tennessee. Ron, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello, Russ. How are you today?
Doing great. What's your thought today?
Well, I've been listening to your program. I listen on the XM quite a bit, and I'm exactly in the predicament that you described earlier. I was married for 14 years. I did have an adulterous affair. I got divorced. And I married the woman I had the affair with. At the time this all happened, I was not with the Lord. Since then, I've recommitted my life. And I was just curious on a biblical sense where I stand.
Okay.
My pastor has told me that that I just need to stop the madness and go from here. You've asked for forgiveness, so just go on from here. So.
Yeah,
it's still very confusing.
What would be the alternative to that, Ron, for you?
The alternative, I guess, would be I get divorced again, and the Lord, it's quite...
And reconcile with your ex-wife?
Quite clear, yeah, and reconcile.
Ooh, Ron, I'll tell you what. Now, let me tell you, I believe that a marriage is a lifelong covenant. I believe that it is separated only through death. I firmly believe that. But at the same time, I think your pastor's right. I think that if you were to now to divorce the woman that you're married to now, you would really be compounding the sin and compounding the heartache. I really don't think that that option is open to you at this point. Now, I say that with a little bit of humility, knowing that I may well be wrong, but I just don't think that the Lord would have you now divorce again. As a matter of fact, I'm confident knowing that the Lord would not have you to wreck another marriage and another family. I think your pastor's right. Stop the madness, receive the forgiveness of God, and move on and try now to be a faithful husband and a faithful dad and a Christian man in the situation in which you are in. But frankly, Ron, there are no good, no perfect alternatives for you, as you recognize in your repentance and your brokenness because of what happened. Adultery is not something that you simply just pick up from and move on. It leaves everlasting, at least not everlasting, but lifelong effects. And I think you see that in your own life and in your own home. And so I will pray for you that the Lord will give you the strength and grace to move on from here. We have David on the line, listening on WTBN in Tampa, Florida. David, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I would like to make a comment in regards to what churches could do with this issue about adultery. I've been a Christian for 20 years. I'm a relatively young man. I'm only 30 years old. And I personally heard sermons on husbands love your wives and wives submit to your husbands.
Mm-hmm.
But all throughout the years where I've heard these sermons, I do not believe that what it means for husbands to love your wives and to wives submit to your husbands have been accurately defined. And I think a lot of the reasons because of that is, I hate to say the feminist movement, but I have seen over the years feminism creep its way into churches.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's almost offensive for a pastor or a teacher to say, wives submit to your husbands. And I do know that that does not mean, you know, wife, do everything what your husband says.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think from both sides, from husbands loving your wives and wives submitting to your husbands, I don't think that has been very, I don't think that has been defined very well. And I think churches and pastors and leaders need to really make an effort to define what that means. And because, for example, I'll take myself. I'm a married man. I love my wife. To me, loving my wife is, you know, doing nice things for her and, you know, making sure the bills are paid and doing work around the house and, you know, taking care of my children and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps maybe my view of loving my wife and my family may not be what she needs. And I think there could be a miscommunication there. I'd love to hear your comments.
Well, David, I think that there's a reason why you don't hear much specificity from our pulpits about marriage roles. It's called cowardice. You have a lot of men in the pulpits who are too scared of female-led homes in their congregations that they're not willing to speak to these things because they know the grief they're going to get. I'll talk about that in just a minute, but I want your calls about fair-proofing our homes and our churches. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're talking today about the issue of adultery in our families, in our homes, in our churches. What can we do to make sure that we, and I'm talking very personally, those of you who are men out there, how can you make sure that you as a husband and a dad guard your heart from adultery? How can you ladies out there make sure that as a mom and as a wife that you guard yourself from adultery? And how can we make sure in our churches that we are involved enough in one another's lives that we're able to recognize and to see so that we're able to say, look, you are going down a path that, as the Proverbs say, a path that leads right to the place of death itself. And I think part of that is, as I was mentioning earlier, we don't have enough involvement in one another's lives. I think particularly in terms of male friendships and male relationships. I mean, if I found myself flirting with a woman, I can think of a number of men. I can think of a very small group in particular who would be willing to say, cut it out or I'll knock your teeth out. And I'm thankful to God for that. But so many of the men in our churches don't have that. Well, what do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. And our previous caller, I think, is right on the money when he talks about the fact that we have such vapid preaching about roles in marriage and about a husband's responsibility to love his wife. Loving your wife is not simply about biblical tips for having hotter sex. And loving your wife is not about making sure that you have a date night every other week. Loving your wife means that you understand that the marriage relationship is to reflect, Ephesians chapter 5, that one flesh relationship between Christ and His church, which means that men, when you are having an adulterous affair, or wives, when you are having an adulterous affair, what you are proclaiming is not just, I'm immoral, you're proclaiming that Jesus Christ is not faithful to His church. That's not just immoral, that's blasphemous. And if we're going to be a church that honors Christ, we've got to address this. We have Mark, who is listening in Lakeland, Florida. Mark, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
What's your thought today, Mark?
Well, you had that lady on earlier that wrote that book, and I was just stunned because I thought she was writing, she watched me and wrote about me. I've had several affairs, and they all started off innocent. And it was that smile of attention and that, and where it gets lost is if you take it past that smile and don't flee from it, then you walk away from God and you talk about your small group and your friends. If you take that next step, none of those people matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and I had to get back on track and confess to God of my sin. I had to be honest, brutally honest, of what I was doing. And then I had to confess to another person, like in the small group, that he wouldn't have mattered until I confessed to God. I mean, men, if you're out there and you're looking at attention from other people, sparks desire in your heart, run. Mm-hmm. Get out of it. Go seek some good spiritual Christian counseling. Not any counselor will do. It has to be Christian counseling. It has to be people in the church. You have no choice. Anyone else will fail you. God is the only one that will hold true and bring you out of it and prevent it.
Mark, did your marriage survive your affairs?
No, sir.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. It was just, I went from one affair to another and left the marriage. And I'm not proud of me, but I've been brought back and I'm forgiven and I have an opportunity to go on in a Christian life forgiven. But my marriage fell flat on its face. I didn't care anymore. Once I took that first step, nothing or nobody mattered.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, one thing I want to encourage you about today, as I hear your brokenness and your repentance over this, is let's remember that in Christ, you're exactly right, we are forgiven, there is no condemnation, and I want to encourage you that you stand in Christ not as an adulterer, but as the very righteousness of God. That when you are seen in Christ, believing in Him, trusting in Him through faith, you have every bit of that adultery and every bit of that sinfulness nailed to the cross, and you bear it no more. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have consequences. You do. And you can hear this broken marriage, this torn apart life. And yet, Mark, I want to encourage you to continue trusting in Christ for His forgiveness and His righteousness. What about you? What do you think we need to do to help guys like Mark? Maybe at the very beginning, as they're beginning to see that smile, they're beginning to hear this woman who's laughing at their jokes, and they believe, you know, she understands me more than my wife does. Or the lady who says, you know, this man listens to me in a way that my husband doesn't do. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. We have Greg on the line listening on WHKW in Akron, Ohio. Greg, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Russell. It's a good show today.
Thank you.
Just a couple things here. Speaking kind of like the other gentleman there, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I think we need to go back to kind of where it starts. You know, marriage preparation for people who are getting married within the church. For one thing, as we see, there's a lot of divorce even in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as you said, we can play have greater involvement in each other's lives. And one thing you don't see too much anymore is an intensive marriage counseling for people who are about to be married.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's a very good point. And, Greg, I have to tell you, I get very frustrated with pastors out there who are wedding chaplains, who will simply marry any couple of people who come walking through the door just in order to be the guy officiating at that marriage. That's a shame. We need to have pastors who understand that this is a covenant that is being made that is lifelong. And we need to make sure that we have pastors who say, okay, I'm going to walk with you as you're preparing for marriage in order to show you this is what Scripture teaches that marriage is about. If you're going to enter into this covenant, you need to, man, be someone who loves her as Christ loves the church. If you're willing to come into this marriage, wife, you need to be someone who's able to image the submission and love and obedience of the bride to her Christ. We don't see that very much. We'll be right back talking about adultery. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we are talking about suspicion and adultery in our churches and in our homes. And we have Leonard, who is calling in with a very quick comment. Leonard, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Well, good evening, and thanks for having us on the show. Just in quickness, my comment is we have grown up with the misguided expectations of life.
Hmm.
We're taught as children to believe in fairy tales, and oftentimes we don't mature correctly by not dealing with life in a nutshell. We shelter our kids all the way through high school, and then when they get out into the real world, they just don't seem to be able to cope or adapt to what's going on in the real world, and that carries on through adulthood.
Well, Leonard, that's a very good point. I think you're exactly right, is that that's often the case in terms of adulterous affairs, is you have men and women who are not taught that marriage is not Prince Charming and Cinderella swooning in each other's eyes all of the time. And so I think you can see in some of these marriages, you already have a problem when you have husbands who are looking at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition and you have wives who are sitting around reading Harlequin romances all day. It's the same problem. It's people who are taking their lustful hearts and directing them outside of the marriage and saying, you know what, I've got this husband, I've got this wife, but there's somebody else out there. And she looks really good. There's somebody else out there, and I think he'd pay attention to me. I think he would sweep me up in his arms and carry me up the stairs. And the more that these hearts take these kind of ideas and these kinds of imaginations and feed on them, the closer they are to wrecking their marriages and tearing apart their families. I am so glad right now that I have a wife at home that I am not worried about in terms of adultery. But one of the things I do have to worry about is making sure that I am guarding my family and my home and, above all other things, my heart, to make sure that I know that, as Solomon once said to his son, Solomon, a son of this kind of infidelity, once said to his son, make sure you know that adulteress, she leads you to death. Looks really good from here, not good at all when you get there. Cleave to the wife of your youth. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler program.
I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mohler's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Thank you.